Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, Yamaraj instructs his messengers, Text 12. Yama uvacha paramad anyo jagatas tatas dushascha O tam proktam patavad yatra vishvam yat amsatosya siti janmanasha nasyotavad yasya vishecha loka Yama uvacha. Yamaraj replied, Paraha, superior, mat, then me, anya, another, jagataha, of all moving things, tastusha, of non-moving things, Cha and Otam crosswise Proktam lengthwise Patavat like a woven cloth Yatra in whom Vishvam the cosmic manifestation Yat of whom Amushataha, from the partial expansions, Asya, of the universe, Stiti, the maintenance, Janma, the creation, Nashaha, the annihilation, Nashi, in the nose, Odavat, try it again. Otavat. Like the rope. Yasya. Of whom? Vashe. Under the control. Cha. And. Lokaha. The whole creation. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Yamaraj said, My dear servants, you have accepted me as the Supreme, but factually I am not. Above me and above all other demigods, including Indra and Chandra, is the one Supreme Master and Controller. The partial manifestations of His personality are Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, who are in charge of the creation, maintenance and annihilation of this universe. He is like the two threads that form the length and breadth of a woven cloth. The entire world is controlled by him, just as a bull is controlled by a rope in its nose. Purport. The order carriers of Yamaraj suspected that there was a ruler even above Yamaraj. To eradicate their doubts, Yamaraj immediately replied, Yes, there is one supreme controller above everything. Yamaraj is in charge of some of the moving living entities, namely the human beings, but the animals, who also move, are not under his control. Only human beings have consciousness of right and wrong, and among them only those who perform sinful activities come under the control of Yamaraj. Therefore, although Yamaraj is a controller, he is only a departmental controller of a few living entities. There are other demigods who control many other departments, but above them all is one supreme controller, Krishna. Ishvara Paramakrishnaha Sat Dinanda Vigraha. The supreme controller is Krishna. Others who control their own departments in the affairs of the universe are insignificant in comparison to Krishna, the supreme controller. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:7, Matak Paratram Nanyat Kinchit Asti Dhananjaya. My dear Dhananjaya Arjuna, no one is superior to me. Therefore, Yamaraj immediately cleared away the doubts of his assistants, the Yamadutas, by confirming that there is one supreme controller above all others. Srila Madhvacharya explains the words otam proktam refer to the cause of all causes. The Supreme Lord is both vertical and horizontal to the cosmic manifestation. This is confirmed by the following verse from the Skanda Purana. Ita kanta pata sutra sota prota chastitaha evam vishnavidam vishvam otam protam cha samstitam. Just like two threads, horizontal and vertical, of which a quilt is manufactured, Lord Vishnu is situated as the vertical and horizontal cause of the cosmic manifestation. So just the translation again. Yamaraj said, my dear servants, you have accepted me as the supreme, but factually I'm not. Above me and above all the other demigods, including Indra and Chandra, is the one supreme master and controller. The partial manifestation of his personality are Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, who are in charge of the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this universe. He is thus like two threads that form the length and breadth of a woven cloth. The entire world is controlled by him, just as a bull is controlled by a rope in its nose. Sarvasya chaham riddhi sanavishto matak smritira gyanam apohanam cha vedaischa savara aham eva vedyo vedanta krid vedavid eva chaham. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedas. In other words, the whole object of study, or as also Krishna says, Yomam evam asamudo janati purushottama sasarvavit bhajante mam sarabhavena bharata. Anyone who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without any doubt is said to be the knower of everything, and therefore he engages himself in full devotional service. In other words, the material existence means to forget Krishna to one degree or another, or to be unconscious of Krishna to one degree or another. This body that's been given to us, or that we're in presently, is a body that helps us forget Krishna. Satvam rajas tamayiti guna prakriti sambhava nivandanti mahabaho dehe dehinam avyam. The material nature consists of three modes: goodness, passion, ignorance, and when the living entity comes in contact with these modes, he becomes conditioned by them. So we may imagine I have a good body, so I'm good. Or we may think, well, I have a passionate body, so I'm passionate. Or I'm a fool. Actually, everyone's a fool, so that's pretty accurate. But we're in a body that makes us into a fool. The soul is actually transcendental, but because he wants to forget Krishna, and because he's acting as if he is, or she is, independent of Krishna, therefore one is put under the influence of different modes of nature. Or by being put under the influence of the material nature, one forgets Krishna. Iti guyatamam shastram idam yuktva bayanaga etam bhutva buddhimatsyat krita kritas chabharata. This is the most confidential part of all the Vedic scriptures. Anyone who knows this becomes wise, and his endeavors will know perfection. Just to know that Krishna is God is very advanced, actually. we find that the sages were discussing who is God. Now, most of us wouldn't probably consider ourselves to be great sages. And we're also discussing who's God. But they had one advantage. Brigham Muni had mystic power, and he could actually go and test the different personalities in the universe. Our only mystic power is probably we can eat twice as much prasad as could possibly fit into our stomach, and somehow or another it fits. So that's a kind of mystic power. But that's not the ultimate mystic power. Although it's a very helpful mystic power for a devotee. In any case, Bhrigu Muni, first of all, as we probably have heard, he went to see his father, Lord Brahma, in Brahmaloka, and Brahma came to embrace him, to say hello, and Bhrigu just kind of looked the other way and ignored him. Now, Brahma happens to be the chief within the universe, the most powerful person within this universe. Imagine if you walked into the, even here, if the president of Ljubljana came into the room and everyone just ignored him. He'd feel a little insulted. So Brahma became insulted and he was going to curse his son, but his great intelligence acted like water and cooled his anger. Bhrigu didn't wait around to find out how his father was feeling. He left immediately. And he went to Kailas, where his brother Lord Shiva resides. And Lord Shiva also came to embrace his brother. Oh, brother. And Bhrigu Muni said, "Stop, you disgusting so-and-so. You're covered, you're so dirty, you're covered with all kinds of ashes from the crematoria. And you have snakes all around you. Don't touch me. I don't want to get contaminated." So Lord Shiva was greatly insulted also. And he took up his trident and he was going to kill Bhrigu Muni. Little family quarrels he was having. Family disagreements. But Parvati, Lord Shiva's consort, fell at his feet and begged Lord Shiva, "Don't kill your brother." The other family members would get quite disturbed. So Lord Shiva, so Bhrigu Muni took off and he went to Swetadweep, where Lord Vishnu is residing on the ocean of milk with his consorts in a Vaikuntha planet. And Bhrigu Muni just walked into his Vaikuntha palace, walked up to Lord Vishnu, who was being massaged by, his lotus feet was being massaged by Lakshmi, walked up to Lord Vishnu and kicked him right in the chest. Now, if you're lying in bed and someone comes and kicks you on the chest, what would you do? But Lord Vishnu is a little unusual. He got down from the bed and immediately said, "Oh, my dear Bhrigu Muni, please forgive me. I didn't know you that you arrived, and I committed a great offense by not greeting you when you came. And not only that, but your soft lotus-like foot has touched my hard thunderbolt-like chest, and I'm afraid it might have been harmed." So immediately Vishnu started to put Bhrigu Muni on a seat and started to massage his foot. "I hope it wasn't too hard and I didn't hurt your foot." He said, "You're so kind. You've come to this Vaikuntha planet to purify it. Please stay here so my planet can become purified. But now that your soft, beautiful, purifying lotus foot has touched my chest, I'm sure now the goddess of fortune will be happy to stay there eternally." So Bhrigu Muni was quite overwhelmed by appreciation and tears were coming to his eyes, but he left to go back and inform the sages that who is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, here the criteria is, who is the most tolerant? The one is actually the Supreme Person, situated in his internal potency of bliss eternally. Then nothing can disturb the Supreme Person, and even the persons who take shelter of such a Supreme Person. Now in the material world, generally speaking, everyone is agitated to some degree or another, even by the most insignificant things. If Prashadam is not on time, immediately we start looking at our watch, thinking, who's the rascal that is so late? 5 more minutes before I start to scream at them. So even a few minutes late, people get agitated. Some years ago in America, in Texas, one man was stopped at a stoplight. The stoplight, or the red light was there, and it turned green. But the man in front of him didn't start the car and proceed forward, so he honked on his horn to get going. So the man in front became so agitated that someone honked, had made the sound of the horn in back of him. He got so angry, he took his shotgun and killed him. Turned around and shot him in the head. So that's a little intolerant. I guess he was a little impatient. So that's not unusual nowadays, at least not in America. But it's not that everyone else is patient, sitting around, no problem. So in the material world, everyone is impatient, and that's caused by the modes of material nature. And because of that, the modes of material nature, naham prakasha sarvasha, yogamaya samabrita, mudoyam nabijananti, lokoyam ajna avyam. I'm never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. To them I'm covered by my eternal creative potency, yogamaya, and so the deluded world knows me not, whom unborn and inexhaustible. In other words, everyone in the material world is to some degree or another a fool because we don't know Krishna. And without knowing Krishna, therefore we can't actually experience the happiness we're looking for. We're looking everywhere except for Krishna to find happiness. Vatirna Krishna parataksatova mito bipadyeta griha bratana. Vatirna Krishna means that people, this is Prahlad Maharaj speaking, people don't know that the aim of life is to obtain Krishna. And therefore, matira means consciousness. The last thing they put their consciousness is upon Krishna, in any form. They'll watch cartoons all day long. They'll play video games all day long. They'll watch sports events, just like they had this World Cup. I guess Slovenia didn't win. Do they compete? They don't even compete. There's not enough people in Slovenia to make a team. But I guess the closest they get is Croatia, is that right? Former Yugoslavia. Really, Slovenia doesn't have a team. What's that? Oh, they didn't qualify. How many nations compete? 32. And how many people go to Moscow? Like, how many teams? 32. And Slovenia wasn't among them? Because they didn't even make the 32. And it's probably like 80 or something countries that compete. More, even more. Anyhow, after France became victorious, I don't know who's rooting for France here, but then what they did is they went out and rioted. That's how you celebrate. You break windows, burn things, turn around cars. That's how you celebrate the victory. Luckily, Slovenia didn't compete or win. Otherwise, You go downtown Slovenia and everything's burnt to ashes. Celebrating the victory. So this is, we put our, people don't want to put their consciousness on Krishna. They think, oh, how horrible. They're thinking about Krishna. And they're thinking about something else that is destroying everything. So that's what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Asatyam apratishtam te jagat ohoranishvaram aparashpram sambhutyam kimanyakama haitukam. They say, and who is they say? The demons. Of course, we don't use the word, we say demons and immediately people think, people with horns. You get checked about, oh, there's the tail. He's a demon. But anyone who doesn't accept the scripture is said to be a demon. Anyone who doesn't accept Krishna's words is an asura. They translate asura are the demigods and asura are the demons. And pravitim cha nivritim cha jana navido asura nasatyam apichacharo nasocham apichacharo nasatyam tesha vidyate. They don't know what's to be done and what's not to be done. Neither cleanliness, nor truthfulness, nor proper behavior is found in them. So that's the definition of asura. They don't know human life is meant to realize Krishna. Instead of that, they're unclean. They're simply engaging in all kinds of unclean activities. Smoking, eating meat, speculation, illicit sex. They're asocham. And every word out of their mouth is a lie because they're believing that they are this body and everyone is their body and they're competing to become the supreme here against everyone else. So everything they're saying is a lie because they're in completely illusion. Even they try and tell the truth, they can't do it because they don't know what the truth is. You can't tell the truth unless you know what the truth is. And the closest they get to the truth is they try to say something what they think happened, which is also an illusion. Just like George Washington, the founder of America, the first president of America, the only time he ever tried to tell the truth is when he cut down a cherry tree. And his father said, who did it? Well, he had the axe in his hand. The tree was right by him. It only happened a few seconds ago. So he said, I did it. So that was the only time a president of the United States ever told the truth. Because he had no choice. So the actual truth, asatyam apratishtante jagat ohoranishvaram aparashvaram sambhutyam kimanyat kamahaituke. They say that this world is unreal. It has no foundation. It has no God in control. It is produced of sex desire and has no other cause in lust. In other words, there is no God and we're free to do whatever we want. We're free to follow our lust, our anger, our greed, because we're in delusion and we don't know, we've forgotten reality and we have no intelligence. Therefore, we're free to act like an animal and go around burning things and throwing cars over and this is natural because when our team wins, you destroy everything. Because after all, what is it? You know, kicking a ball against someone else is trying to prevent you from kicking the ball. That's what the whole world is absorbed in. Focusing their attention and giving their enthusiasm and love to. And if you can kick the ball better than someone else can kick the ball, then you become the winner. And your country is the best at kicking a ball. And that's what everyone lives for, kicking the ball. And because your country can kick the ball better than anyone else, then you destroy your country in celebration. And people think that this is civilization. Or as Gandhi said, as I mentioned before, when he went to England, England was supposed to be civilized, supposedly. Now, Gandhi went to England not to simply, you know, visit the Queen or something. He went there because England was trying to control India, and there was a peaceful demonstration, and one of the British generals, decided he'd just kill everyone who was demonstrated. So he took his men, surrounded all the peaceful demonstrators, and started to shoot them all. And most of them fell into a well so they didn't get shot, and they died in the well. So obviously, there was a little disturbance by the Indian people that these are our protectors, these are people who are supposedly here because we're our savages, we're uncivilized, and therefore they have to stay in India so they can protect us from our savage nature. And these people are the ones who are, they just take guns, machine guns actually that they had at that time, and just kill everyone for protesting something. So this is supposed to be the civilized people. Imagine what the uncivilized people are doing. So there was quite a disturbance. Already people wanted to get the British out, and that was even more. So they decided to have a conference in England and discuss these matters. So Gandhi went to England, and he was asked, "What do you think of English civilization?" while he was in London. And his reply was, "I think it would be a good idea." So they think the world is unreal, has no foundation, has no God in control. They think it's produced of sex desire, that it came about by sex desire, and that's the only purpose, is to profit, adoration, distinction, gratify the senses unto the end of life. So what is the result of not accepting Krishna, not accepting God, not accepting scripture, not following rules and regulations, just acting whimsically? Etam drishtim avashtabhya nashtatmanona buddhaya pravat yugra karmana shaye digato hita. Following such conclusions and laws to themselves, the demoniac create horrible, unbeneficial works which are meant to destroy the world. So more or less, modern civilization is simply an attempt to destroy everything. Unnecessarily. Because they've forgotten Krishna. Just like everyone knows, I mean, it's always good to be reminded, that, for instance, they're having huge armies fighting over oil. In Syria, they're constantly spending billions of dollars, all different groups fighting for their own interests, for pipelines and for oil, whatever. But actually, we don't need oil. They've invented cars that run on water. Unfortunately, if a car runs on water, then no one can make any money from it, because there's a lot of water. And therefore, all these people making money from oil won't make any money from oil anymore. So they suppress the car, utilizing oil, water as a basis of running machines, so that they can get oil. But because they want to make money from oil, they also want to make money from armaments. America spends, I think, $300 billion a year on weapons. And they have to use it, because unless they use it, you can't make any more money. So they create wars, because war is the most profitable business. If you want to make money, we'll get into the business of war, because we probably won't. In Slovenia here, I couldn't figure out who to fight against, but in any case. But that's how they make money. So what is war? You have to use up your armaments, you have to use up your weapons. And so they utilize them, destroy things, unnecessarily declare that people are this or that, this country is this or that, make things up, and then go utilize the weapons, and everything's good, the economy is good. As if you destroy another country and weapons, that's increasing your economy. So people are so full that they don't know that clean water, fresh air, organic food, fresh food, that's really the economy. They think if we get more dollars, which is just imagination, we increase them by destroying other things, that we're increasing our economy. In any case, Prabhupada mentions in that purport, now they've invented atomic weapons, and as they become foolish, more and more foolish, eventually they'll utilize it. Because you make a lot of money from using an atomic weapon. They're expensive to make. You utilize them, you have to make more of them, and our economy will flourish if there's anything left of it. But we shouldn't be so secure that people, they don't know what reality is, and everything's going to be all right. Look at Banasura. He was an asura. And he had gotten a benediction from Lord Shiva of 10,000 arms. I'm sorry, 1,000. He had 1,000 arms, which was pretty impressive. We have two arms, and we can box, but imagine trying to box against Banasura with 1,000 arms. Very hard to block his punches. So he's the world heavyweight champion in the universe. No one wanted to fight against Banasura. You're watching one of his, you duck one of his punches, and the other 999 hit you. But he became agitated because he had no competitor. Every time he went to fight against someone, everyone fled. And so, when you have some desire to fight, it's disturbing. If there's no one to fight against, it's quite agitating. You're being impelled to fight, but you can't fight against anyone because there's no one to fight against. They're all running. So he would go to the mountains and smash his arms, his hands into the mountains and pulverize them. But still he was itching to fight someone. So he went to Lord Shiva and said, put it up. Lord Shiva said, oh, you foolish demon. I was the one who gave you the benediction. Now you want to fight against me. That's ridiculous. He said, but don't worry. Soon, there'll come a competitor, and he's going to smash you to pieces, and your flag of victory will no longer fly. So if we heard that, someone's going to come around the block and smash you to pieces, most of us would run, unless we were so agitated that we had to fight against someone. And he became elated. He became ecstatic. Oh, wow, finally someone's going to come and smash me to pieces. So that's called madness. But he was so agitated by his ability to fight, by his desire to fight with 1,000 arms, he wanted to get rid of this problem that he had. This constant agitation to fight. So he was happy to hear that someone was going to smash him. And indeed, Krishna came along and cut off 996 of his arms. That was quite a relief. So similarly, modern civilization, they've forgotten Krishna, the Tevidu Swarthakatim Hi Vishnu. They don't know that the goal of life is to obtain Krishna, and they're trying so many different ways to become happy. And they're just entangling themselves more and more. And their whole society is controlled by asuras, and the people they're controlling are also asuras. And therefore they're creating hell for everyone. Everything's contaminated, the food is contaminated. The last few years in Europe they're not using lysophate or whatever it's called. Ready Roundup. I think they banned that in Europe. It's poison. They throw it they make genetically modified food, which is poisonous. They feed it to rats. They did that experiment in France. All the rats develop cancer. And that's what they feed to the human beings. And they can't understand where this cancer is coming from. People are so nice. How can it possibly happen to all these good people, so many, because they're eating poison. And then in order to protect the whole reason why they have genetically modified food is that it withstands insecticides, pesticides, herbicides. So they throw it in abundance. They just spray it in abundance upon the fields, and therefore anything that gets near the field is dead. The birds flying overhead just sniff the field and they fall down dead. And this is what they feed to people. People can't understand, oh, how is it possible? These so kind people who are growing our food and all these things, why are they doing it? They're doing it simply because they make money. They don't really care what happens to the people. They just care that they make money. So the food itself is poisonous, and it's covered with poison. It's not covered with chocolate. It's covered with poison. And people eat the food, and they get sick. And some people die. And this is modern, progress. We don't want to go out in the fields and grow food ourselves. We don't even make a little garden. It's too much trouble. We rather trust these leaders in modern society. There are controllers. There are enjoyers. There are friends. But actually, they're not our friends. They're being controlled by the lowest modes of nature, and their enjoyment is simply to see others suffer. So we don't accept Krishna as the supreme, we don't serve Krishna, we don't know about Krishna, then we have to accept these Andaya Tandera Pagiyamana Stepisha Tantra Urudami Bada. We have to accept these blind people. At best they're blind, at worst they're consciously trying to kill people, destroy people. Just like there was one famous personality who was at one time the wealthiest person in the world, Bill Gates. So Bill Gates has this charitable foundation, and the charitable foundation is giving vaccinations to the people, especially in Africa, to protect them from Krishna knows what. So he was giving a seminar, and in the seminar he's explaining about there's too many people on the planet, too many people for him on the planet. And so he was explaining the ways that it's possible to get rid of these people. Actually, they want to get rid of us. These are our so-called protectors who give us Microsoft and, Windows into the hellish world. And his explanation, he said one of the ways we can reduce population is we can increase our vaccinations. In other words, the vaccinations are actually programmed to kill people, at least sterilize them. And so our government, like in America, now it's mandatory you have to take vaccinations or else they put you in prison. The children have to take vaccines. Because if you're not going to die, if you're actually so foolish you want to live, then we have to do something about it. We'll arrest you because you want to live. It's against the law to live now. And if you get shocks, like many of the children, they give 15 vaccinations at once. You're 1 year old, the needle they stick into is bigger than your arm. They fill you with all kinds of poison. And you go into shock. Some of these children go into shock or they develop attention deficit. And they made a law. You can't sue the companies that make these vaccines. And you have to take it. You have to get attention deficit. You have to go into shock. It's against the law not to. And this is the leaders in modern society. And what's the whole basis? It's because they're accepting these people as their authorities, the leaders, instead of accepting Krishna and his followers as the leaders. So we have some information that Krishna is God, and we know what Krishna wants us to do. And it's not what modern leaders are doing in society. They're not representing Krishna. So it's this society's duty is to convince people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that they should follow Krishna's instructions. That Krishna is actually the controller of everything. Krishna is actually the enjoyer of everything. And Krishna is actually the friend of everyone. And if we follow his instructions, then this world can be changed into a peaceful, happy, Vaikuntha-like experience. And if we don't, then Kali Yuga will simply progress, and anyone who doesn't follow Krishna will have to suffer as a reaction of the things that are going on in Kali Yuga, because they're following people who are not Krishna conscious. So that's our duty, simply tell people, explain to people that Krishna is God, and give them the means by which they can realize Krishna. And of course, the more we understand that and follow it ourselves and realize Krishna is God, then the more we'll be empowered to convince other people that Krishna is God. And the alternative is maybe one year that Slovenia will win the World Cup, and they'll be overturning our cars in the street also. Maybe by that time it'll be the end of Kali Yuga, and they'll be hunting the devotees in the street. Celebration, they have a big barbecue, and they'll have prasad, that is the devotees, which offered to Krishna will be offered a celebration for the world. Slovenia, after 432,000 years, has finally won the gold cup. So we shouldn't wait so long. Convince people here that Krishna is God, so we don't have to become part of their celebration in the future. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
I have one question regarding in India they have knowledge about the Vedas, but they are usually bewildered and think Krishna is one of demigods. So what's the condition that a soul can realize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality and it doesn't get deluded by other demigods or some other philosophies?
Don't go to India. At least they believe in demigods. Their demigods are some actress or actor or some athlete. Those are the demigods here. At least they believe in demigods. They're not so fooled to think everything's coming by accident. Rain is coming by accident. The sun's moving by accident. The air is blowing by accident. We just can ignore that. No, at least they believe in something which is more profound than some actress or actor in some movie. And what's the condition? Well, we know the condition. In this age, we have to perform sacrifice by chanting Hare Krishna. And we have to spread the Hare Krishna movement. And then Krishna will be pleased because we're performing service to him. We have to perform sacrifice. And then Krishna will reciprocate with us. Jagavai Vishnu. Otherwise, we're just wasting our time. And wasting time in Kali Yuga is not a very good, not a good thing to waste. All right, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.